beside the cabin next to those arms.
Second point.
Your ultimate point remains elusive, Captain.
Now, this point shouldn't. I hear you have a map of an island. Crosses on the map to show where the treasure lies. I've even heard the latitude and longitude.
I never told that, Lipsy. Not to a soul.
The hands, sir, have it practically tattooed on their arms. Now, I don't know who has this map, but I make it a point. It shall be kept secret, even from me and Mr. Arrow. Otherwise, I would ask you to let me resign.
You wish us to keep this matter dark, and to make a garrison of the stern part of the ship, manned with my friend's own people, and provided with all the arms and powder on board.
I recommend it, sir.
In other words, you fear a mutiny. What?
Sir, I deny your right to put words into my mouth. No captain would be justified going to sea if he had ground to say that, but I see things going, as I think, not quite right. And I ask you to take certain precautions, or let me resign my berth, and that's all.
Well, I will do as you desire, but I think the worse of you.
That's as you please, sir. You'll find I do my duty.
Trelawney.
Yes?
Contrary to all my notions, I believe you have managed to get two honest men on board with you. That man and John Silver.
Silver, if you like. But as for that intolerable humbug, I declare his conduct unmanly, unsailorly, and downright un-English.
Well, we shall see.
Come on, lads. Plenty more to heave. Let's get it done and get sailing.
So ho, mates. What's this?
We're changing of the powder, Jack.
Changing? Why, by the powers, if we do, we'll miss the morning tide.
My orders, Silver. You may go below. Crew will want supper.
Just say
yourself,
sir.
Being cook, myself being captain, I'm telling you, get below.
Aye, sir.
That's a good man, Captain.
Very likely, sir. Easy with that powder, easy. Let's not blast ourselves to Kingdom Come while we're yet in the dock. You, ship's boy.
Sir?
Off with you to the cook. See if he can't help him fry us some dinner.
Sir?
Sooner you do that than charcoal the lot of us by dropping another of them barrels.
Yes, sir.
It's a little harsh, Captain.
I'll have no favourites on this ship.
Give us the grub, give us the grub, give us the grub, or I'll sink this tub.
You wait your turn. Get your blessed beak in line beyond all the other beaks.
Feed the beak, feed the beak.
In a bit.
I hate him. I hate him, my dear.
Hate him, hate him.
What?
Who's that? That you, Jim?
Yes.
Hate him, bite him, peck him.
You teaching Captain Flint harsh sentiments?
Captain.
The parrot. I calls her Captain Flint after the famous buccaneer.
Buccaneer, buccaneer, boil your head, says the buccaneer.
It's not me you hate, I hopes. Me being so fond of you myself.
What? No, no.
Who then? You can tell Long John.
The captain.
What, that paragon? What's he done to offend you?
Just bossing me about, you know?
Well, that's how it is on a ship, young sir. Then that's up to a doing a day's work does a day and a half's all in one go. Them that isn't stands around and barks them through it. Look at me. Shut down here to cook a feast for every dog as is up above me. Me, who, with two legs to call his own, might have been captain in his own ship. But you don't hear me complain.
Complied, complied, spit it out and complied again.
Shut up, you. Cause you see, Jim, just to be on a ship, and that ship on the sea, is reward enough for a man like me. With a salt breeze in my face, what need I of a fistful of gold? And while I'm stuck down here, I can roast a repast to make them all drop to their knees in gratitude. You know what they call me when I'm cooking up a storm in the galley? They call me Barbecue.
Barbecue? Why's that?
Oh, you don't want to hear. It's a sad story.
Tragic, tragic.
Tell me.
Oh, it all goes back to the fine bygone days when I served with two good sea legs under Captain Hawk. We was blockading the sea around Brest when a gale struck up. We got the order to sail for home, for Tall Bay. But we'd barely rounded that great jut on the French coast when we got shipwrecked. On the island of Ushant. Hiding in all them jagged barren rocks from the French troops. having to fend for ourselves on starvation rations till we could hail the next British ship sailing by. What food we had was running low, and so, Jim, what could I do but make a sacrifice for my own shipmates?
A sacrifice?
We'd saved from the wreck some of my cooking equipment, including a great chopping knife like this one here. And with the edge of that knife, why, I sawed off my own leg.
Sawed?
What else could I do? And then I cooked it.
Cooked?
The flesh off my calves made a fine pair of fillet steaks. The blood I drained for a kind of sauce. I screwed the marrow out of the bones to make a brand of pate. And I even boiled my bony old foot for soup. And I said to my starving shipmates, take, eat. This is my body. This is my blood, which I ask you to eat and drink in remembrance, should I not survive, of your old shipmate, John Silver. And do you know what happened next, Jim?
What?
Why, they all choked to death on that rotten meat, and I got all the good grub to myself. Ha, ha, ha! I'm joking. Jim! Joking! Storifying! It's a hard life out at sea, Jim. You'd get nowhere without a sense of humor.
Lies, lies, it's all lies.
Quiet you, or I'll throw my handkerchief over your cage. That bird has more sense of humor than any of us, damn her. She's 200 years old, you know.
200?
201, 202, 203.
Shut up!
Pieces of eight, pieces of eight.
And if anybody's seen more wickedness, it must be the devil himself. She sailed with England, the great Captain England, the pirate. She's been at Madagascar, at Malabar, and Suriname, and Providence, and Portobello. She was at the fishing up of the wrecked plate ships. It's there she learned pieces of eight. And little wonder, 350,000 of them, Jim.
Pieces of eight, pieces of eight.
And to look at her, you'd think she was a babby, though the fleas in her is older than me.
Damn you, mate.
Hark at that. You can't touch pitch and not be mucked, lad. Here's this poor, innocent old bird of mine swearing blue fire, and none the wiser, and you may lay to that. She would swear the same before Chaplin.
Bite his bloody finger off.
She wouldn't, would she? Bite my finger off?
Better, let's say, you let me pass her the odd lump of sugar. But meanwhile, we have men to feed. Here, Jim. Help old Barbecue carry this feast up the gangway. Those fellows need energy for the morrow. We sail, I promise you, before dawn.
Sailing to the Isle of Treasures.
Sailing to perdition, perdition, what and all.
Come on, lads. Let's get the foresail right. Hey. You there. Lift up that anchor.
A little before dawn, the boatswain sounded his pipe and the crew began to man the capstan bars. I might have been twice as weary from the long night's work preceding, yet I would not have left the deck. All was so new and interesting to me. The brief commands, the shrill note of the whistle, the men bustling to their places and the glimmer of the ship's lanterns.
Quicker on that capstan! Let's see that foresail high!
Barbecue! Tip us a stave. Give us a song to work to.
Yeah. A song, lad?
Yeah.
Which song shall it be?
Oh, you know the song. Yeah.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Join in.
Yo, ho, ho,
and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
The song carried me back to the Admiral Benbow, and I seemed to hear the voice of the captain piping in the chorus. But soon the anchor was shot up, soon the sails began to draw, and the land and shipping to flit by on either side. The Hispaniola had begun her voyage. Soon we were on the open sea, England shrinking to a faint line behind us. Somewhere on that line, I suppose, lay the Admiral Benbow, and I fell to wondering if my mother mightn't be standing outside it, watching a faint speck of ship on the horizon become fainter still. And then England was gone. And for a moment the salt in the air whipped a helpless orphan tear from my eye. But the waves sparkled and leapt alongside the Hispaniola's hull. And I faced forward and let my voyage truly begin. I'm not going to relate that voyage in detail. It was fairly prosperous. The ship proved to be a good ship. The crew were capable seamen, and the captain thoroughly understood his business. Even when we faced some heavy weather, it only proved the worth of the Hispaniola.
There we go, lads! Here's a sea to whip up an appetite! Hooray!
Aboard ship, Long John Silver carried his crutch by a lanyard round his neck, to have both hands as free as possible. It was something to see him wedge the foot of the crutch against the bulkhead and propped against it, yielding to every movement of the ship, get on with his cooking like someone safe ashore. Still more strange was it to see him in the heaviest of weather cross the deck. He had a line or two rigged up to help him across the widest spaces. Long John's earrings, they were called. And he would hand himself from one place to another, now using the crutch, now trailing it alongside by the lanyard, as quickly as another man could walk. Yet some of the men who had sailed with him before expressed their pity to see him so reduced. Men such as the boatswain, Israel Hands.
He's no common man, is Barbecue. He had good schooling when he was young like you, Master Hawkins, and could speak like a book when so minded. And brave. A lion's nothing alongside of Long John. I've seen him grapple four and knock their heads together, him unarmed.
Of another member of the crew, less fond words were spoken.
Mazzaro!
Oh, there you are, Captain. It's a fine day for clinging to the gunwales.
Not in that state. You're drunk. Again.
Drunk, sir? I haven't drunk a drop of nothing but water since we left Bristol.
And what's that bottle in your hand?
What? My God, where did that come from?
Where indeed?
A bird, sir.
A bird?
I swear, Captain, these damned gulls will flap over ships less well-behaved than this one. Pick up anything with a glint what'll catch their eyes. A bottle of rum, for example. Then all that rum, you see, it gets heavy in their beaks and they drop it. Yes, well, that's it. I remember now. Down it came, clattering here on the deck. And what could I do but pick it up all innocent-like?
And if I resist the thought of that being tossed to you by a seagull with a sore neck... The question is begged sorer than ever. From where, precisely, are you getting hold of the drink that leaves you incapable of attending to your duties?
My duties, Captain? My duties are getting done. It's doing them so hard that's got me pausing for breath here in a quiet corner.
What about your duty to earn the respect of the men under you and keep them in line?
In line, sir? Oh, this crew leaps at my bark. You there, Israel Hands!
Aye.
Check that main brace.
Sober up and check it yourself.
Hands!
You ask me, sir, I'll check it. But I ain't taking orders off that old drunk.
There, you see?
Israel Hands is a troublesome sailor.
The most troublesome man on the ship is the man currently in front of me. Against all below! Sobered! Before you set foot on my deck again!
Sobered, sir? Sobered? Why, I declare I am. I am. I am a little bit...
Arrow! Oh, Israel Hands over here. Help me get a hold of this drunken lump before he falls over the side of the boat.
You're coming, sir. Coming.
Although heaven knows, it's tempting to let him go.
All right, Mr. Arrow. Let's get you down below with all the other hides of salt beef.
Salt beef? I outrank you, Israel Hands, and don't you never go forgetting it.
You keep yourself upright going down these steps and you might just win my respect.
Right.
Yeah, more trouble with Mr. Arrow, Captain.
As you see. Oh, honestly.
Bandage him up and shove him in his bunk, Israel. Let him sleep it off.
I'll give the orders, Silver.
Beg pardon, Captain.
Hands!
Sir?
Put him in his bunk. Let him sleep it off.
Sir?
Well said, Captain. Fellow's a bad example to the others.
Not the only one, perhaps.
Sir?
If I only knew who's supplying him with all that drink.
drinker like that, Captain, I wouldn't be surprised if he squirreled it all away himself in some corner below decks.
Squirreled? Fella doesn't have a foresight of a gnat. I suspect someone's plying him with the stuff.
Oh?
For all your supplies down in the galley, quite secure.
You can trust old Long John, sir.
Can I?
With your life, sir.
Captain! Captain Smollett! What's the upset now?
No upset, sir. Ship's cruising fine.
I'm glad to hear it.
Glad to say it. She's a fine ship. Grown fond of her. She'll lie a point nearer the wind than a man might expect of his ill-married wife.
I dare say.
But we won't be home and safe a long time yet. And I don't like the cruise. And I'm not sure I care for all of the crew. And if you'll excuse me, Squire, it's a hard enough job without me hanging around all day talking about it.
A little more of that man, and I shall explode.
Don't fret yourself over it, Squire. He's a captain. And in my experience, captains are made that way.
Then thank goodness there's only one of them on board the blessed boat.
We'll toast you on that one, Squire.
A toast, Silver. You wouldn't have more of that excellent rum within easy reach?
I would, sir, but don't tell the captain about it.
Where are you?
The man's dying here. Dying, I tell you. You hear me? Dying.
Oh, you watch yourself there, Mr. Arrow.
What?
Go tripping over the side of the boat this hour of the night. We might not notice you've gone till morning roll call.
Oh, yes.
It's rough water tonight.
Seen it rougher. Dare say we'll see it rougher yet before we reach that island.
Couldn't be rougher than my belly and tongue and head, Silver. Not tonight.
He's lying bleeding down in that bunk all them hours, Mr. Arrow, without a taste of food nor drink.
Without a taste of drink, to be sure. That damned captain, he'll see me dry up and blow away with the wind.
Blow away, Mr. Arrow? That would never do.
Who's that?
Don't bark at me, I'm off duty.
Israel Hands.
My dear old friend.
We've got Job with me. Jack.
Mr. Arrow.
Another friend.
Me too.
Ted Morgan. We're all friends here, ain't we, Mr. Arrow?
Friends?
You doubt it? We'll toast you and prove it.
Toast?
You don't mind us all swigging from the same bottle, do you?
Oh, show me it, show me.
Right here.
Don't you dare tell the captain.
The captain? Overboard with the bloody captain.
Overboard, Mr. Arrow.
Just get the cork out of that bottle.
Pull it out yourself.
My friend Israel expresses himself bluntly.
I'll say.
But the first swig is yours, so yes. You get the honor of popping the cork.
Honor? Well, it's all the honor I'm after tonight.
Careful there, taking the thing in your teeth.
Yeah, we'd hate for you to choke on it.
And go to your death dry-throated.
No, we wouldn't want that.
I won't die dry-throated, believe me. Oh, that's heaven, that is.
Heaven, Mr. Arrow. The place we all belong, I'm sure.
Boy, the straightest route that takes us there.
Huh? Stop yapping it. Will you let me drink?
He's after taking it all, Jack.
Let him. He's getting nothing he hasn't earned.
Huh? What's that?
Nothing, Mr. Arrow. Drink. Drink deep.
Deep? Oh, that's my kind of drink.
Like I say, Mr. Arrow, you've earned it.
Gone? What? Gone where?
I don't know, Squire. We've searched the boat all morning from his mess of a bunk to the masthead. No sign.
We're on a ship in the middle of the ocean. Where can he have gone? Oh.
Arrow had a fondness for drink, as we've all observed.
Had?
Well,
I fancy I glimpsed him up on the aft deck in the dark, sir. Thought I glimpsed the glint of a bottle in his hand.
And the sea was riding mighty rough last night.
And you think...
Oh, only caught that one glimpse of him, sir, and nothing thereafter.
Full of rum as he was likely to be, I suppose the water wouldn't have felt too cold.
It does save us the trouble of putting the drunken sort in irons.
But it does leave the ship without a mate.
The bosun here, Job Anderson, he's the most qualified man on the boat. Up for it, Job?
I'm up for it.
As for Israel Hands here, why, he can be trusted at a pinch with almost anything.
I can that, sir.
Very well, then. Anderson, you take the late Arrow's duty.
Sir, I think as captain I'll have some say.
Certainly, captain. I've selected my crew. Now you send them about their day's work.
Sir. All right, you miserable shoal of dogfish. You know where you're supposed to be. Get yourselves there and do what needs doing. We're running up the trades, and that island ain't far.
You are remembering?
What?
It's young Dick's birthday. I know the squire likes to...
What? Oh, yes. Double grog at the end of shift, Silver.
Well, I'll see to it, sir.
And see the barrel of apples over in the waste remains well stocked.
We're running a little low, sir, but I'll do what I can.
Come, Jim. Help me with them apples.
Well, it's nice to hear the men are eating healthily, more or less.
Healthy bodies, sir. Healthy minds.
Grog. Apples. Spoil forecastle hands, so you'll breed devils, that's my belief.
My grog and apples have fueled the men this far, Captain. If they be devils, they're fine and useful devils to me. And if you've any dispute with that, then the devil take you.
Now, gentlemen, there's enough wind blowing through those sails without our adding to it from down here. Captain, if you would be so good as to be about your duties.
Sirs.
And you, squire, help yourself to an apple. And keep that great mouth of yours busy for a while.
But good did come of the apple barrel, as you shall hear. It was about the last day of our outward voyage by the largest computation. It was just after sundown, and as I was on my way to my berth, it occurred to me that I should like an apple. I ran on deck. The watch was all forward, looking out for the island. I climbed bodily into the apple barrel, and found there was scarce an apple left. But sitting down there in the dark, with the sound of the waters and the rocking movement of the ship, I had either fallen asleep or was just on the point of doing so when a heavy man sat down close by. The barrel shook as he leaned his shoulders against it, and I was just about to jump up when the man began to speak.
What's that you say, young Dick? Me a pirate captain? No. Flint was our captain. I was quartermaster, along of my timber leg. The same broadside I lost my leg, dear old Pugh lost his deadlights. He was a master surgeon that amputated me, though he was hanged like a dog and sun-dried like the rest at Corso Castle.
He was the flower of the flock, was old Flint, so I hear.
So he was, youngster. That ship of his, the old Walrus, why, I've seen it amuck with red blood and fit to sink with gold. And where's Flint's men now? Why, most of them are on board here, and glad to get the dove. Been begging before that, some of them. Old Pugh. Well, he's dead now and under hatches. But for 2 years before that, shiver my timbers, the man was starving. He begged and he stole and he cut throats and starved at that by the powers.
Well, it ain't much use after all.
Here it is about gentlemen of fortune, lad. They lives rough and they risk swinging. But they eat and drink like fighting cocks. And when a cruise is done, why, it's hundreds of pounds, not hundreds of farthings in their pockets. Now, the most goes for rum and a good fling, and to sea again in their shirts. But that's not the course I lay. I puts it all away, some here, some there, and none too much anywheres. Once back from this cruise, I set up gentlemen in earnest.
But dare you show your face in Bristol after this? And if you daren't, how do you get at that money?
The money ain't in Bristol. Not since we set sail. My old missus had it, with the spyglass sold and her off to meet me in warmer waters.
And you trust your missus?
There was some that was feared of Pugh, and some that was feared of Flint. But Flint, his own self, was feared of me. They was the roughest crew afloat, was Flint's. The devil himself would have been feared to sail with them. But they were lambs before me. My missus will do right by Long John, believe me.
Well, I tell you now, I didn't have a quarter like the job till I had this talk with you, John. But there's my hand on it now.
There we go, Israel. Dick square.
Oh, I know Dick was square. He's no fool, is Dick. Oh, I want to know, Barbecue, is how long are we going to stand off? I've had a most enough of Captain Smollett. He's aged me long enough.
Israel, your head ain't much account, nor never was. But you're able to hear, leastways your ears is big enough. Now hear this. You'll speak soft, and you'll keep sober till I give the word.
But when, Jack, when?
When, by the powers, I'll tell you. The last moment I can manage, and that's when. He's a first-rate seaman, Captain Smollett. Sails the blessed ship for us. Here's this squire and doctor with a map and such, and I don't know where it is, do I? No more do you. Well, then, listen. This squire and doctor shall find the stuff and help us get it aboard. And then we'll see. At the island, as soon as the blunt's on board.
But when we do lay them athwart, what are we to do with them anyhow?
Duty's duty, mates. I give my vote. Death. When I'm living it high and riding in my coach, I don't want none of these sea lawyers in the cabin or coming home and looked for like the devil at prayers. Wait is what I say. Having seen too many shipmates get themselves hung through sheer impatience. But when the time comes, why, let her rip.
Jump, you're the man.
You'll say so, Israel, when you see. Only one thing I claim. Squire Trelawney, I'll wring his calf's head off his body with his hands.
If I get Captain Smollett, I'm happy to let you take the squire.
My mouth's a-watering at the thought already. Dick, you just jump up like a sweet lad and fish me an apple from this barrel back here.
An apple? I don't think there's many left.
Well, reach right down to the bottom. See what you can get a hold of.
An apple? When there's rum on board and you with the key to it.
An apple. Like the doctor recommended. Reach in deep, Dick.
Just a mo.
On the hoy!
By the devil with her. Dick, help me out.
What about the apple?
Never mind the bloody apple.
On the hoy!
All hands on deck! All hands on deck!
Move, lads, move to your places.
All hands on deck!
There was a great rush of feet across the deck. Dragging myself out of the barrel, I joined the rush for the weather bow. Away to the southwest of us, we saw two low and conical hills, a couple of miles apart, and rising behind one of them, a third and higher hill, whose peak was buried in the fog.
All right, lads, let's lay her a couple of points near the wind. Take her close by the east side of the island. I don't mean next week. Turn us out. That's more like it, lads. Easy as we go. Any of you ever seen that land ahead?
I have, sir.
What, silver?
Yeah, I warded there once, I recall, with a trader I was cooking.
Well, the anchorage is on the south, behind an islet, I fancy.
Yes, sir. Skeleton Islands, they calls it.
Skeleton?
It were a main place for pirates once, that hill to the north. They calls the Foremast Hill. There are three hills in a row running southward. You see, four main and mizzen, sir. But the main, that big one with a cloud on it, they usually calls the Spyglass, by reason of a lookout they kept when they was down in the anchorage, cleaning.
Cleaning?
For it's there they cleaned their ships, sir, as the saying goes.
I see. I have a chart here. Take a look.
Oh.
Long John's eyes burned as he took the chart, but by the fresh look of the paper, I knew he was doomed to disappointment. This was not the map we found in Billy Bone's chest, but an accurate copy, complete in all things with the single exception of the red crosses and the written notes. Sharp as must have been his annoyance, Silver had the strength of mind to hide it.
Yes, sir, that's the spot. To be sure, and very prettily drawn out. Here it is. Captain Kidd's Anchorage. Just the name my shipmate called it.
Thank you, Silver.
Where to anchor there, sir?
I'll make that decision presently.
Aye, you do that. Who's that? Oh, Jim. A fine sight, eh? Aye, young lad like you, first sight of them hills and that forest. Why, you ought to be looking brighter than you do at the moment. What's up with you, boy?
Up? Nothing's up. I was in my bunk. I just woke up.
Did you know?
Yes, I was having a dream.
A dream, was you? A happy one?
not all happy. It's all like a dream tonight.
Well, come here. Come here and dream on that. It's a sweet spot, this island. A sweet spot for a lad to get ashore. You'll bathe and climb trees, and you'll hunt goats, and get aloft in them hills like a goat yourself. Why, it makes me young again. I all but forgot my timber leg for a moment. It's a pleasant thing to be young and have 10 does when you want to go exploring. You just ask old John, and he'll put up a snack for you to take along. Aye?
Yes. Yes, I'll let you know.
Where are you going now, boy?
Nowhere. Below.
Below?
To my bunk, to get some sleep.
Well, don't sleep too long. We'll be going ashore in the morning, and who knows what we'll find.
Well, Livesey, Captain Smollett, let's drink a toast to our treasure island.
A treasure island?
Indeed.
See the men up above get some grog for a toast of their own.
I will, sir.
They got us here after all.
I did, no denying. If they get us back, I'll be a happy man.
Jim?
Dr. Squire, Captain, I have terrible news.
What?
I saw this coming.
Quiet. Jim, sit down, get your breath back and tell us your news.
I did as I was bid. Nobody interrupted me till I was done.
And now, gentlemen, I think we owe Jim Hawkins a toast.
A toast to his luck and courage. Now, Captain, you were right, and I was wrong. I own myself an ass, and I await your orders.
No more an ass than I, sir. I never heard of a crew that meant a mutiny, but what showed signs before for any man that had an eye in his head and wit to take steps, but this crew beats me.
Silver's a remarkable man.
He looked remarkably well hanging from a yardarm. This is talk. This don't lead to nothing. I see 3 or 4 points, and with Mr. Trelawney's permission, I'll name them.
Do so.
First point. Must go on, because we can't turn back. If I gave the word to go about, they would rise at once. Second point. We have time before us, at least until this treasure's found. Third point. There are a few faithful hands, at least. Now, sir, it's got to come to blows sooner or later. What I propose is to take our time and come to blows some fine day when they least expect it. We can count, I take it, on your own home servants, Mr. Trelawney, Hunter, Joyce, Redruth.
As upon myself.
That's 3 men. Ourselves make 4, counting Hawkins here. Now, what honest hands have we?
Most likely Trelawney's own men, those he had picked up for himself before he lit on Silver.
Alas, Israel Hands was one of those men. And to think they're all Englishmen. Sir, I could find it in my heart to blow the ship up.
We must lay to and keep a bright lookout. There's no help for it till we know our men. Lay to. Whistle for a wind, that's my view. Current count, we stand 7 men out of 26. And that's counting young Hawkins here as a man.
Jim here can help us more than anyone. The men are not shy with him, and Jim is a noticing lad.
Hawkins, I put prodigious faith in you.
Thank you, sir, I think.
Now, drink your wine like a man and get back up on deck.
The appearance of the island when I came on deck next morning was altogether changed. We were now lying becalmed to the southeast of the low eastern coast. Grey, coloured woods covered a large part of the surface. This even tint was broken up by streaks of yellow sandbrake in the lower lands, and by many tall trees of the pine family, outtopping the others. But the general colouring was uniform and sad. The hills ran up clear above the vegetation, in spires of naked rock. All was strangely shaped, and the spyglass, which was by 300 or 400 feet the tallest on the island, was likewise the strangest in configuration, running up sheer from almost every side and then suddenly cut off at the top, like a pedestal to put a statue on. From the first look onward, I hated the very thought of Treasure Island. We had a dreary morning's work before us, for there was no sign of any wind, and the boats had to be got out and manned. and the ship dragged 3 or 4 miles round the corner of the island and up the narrow passage to the haven behind Skeleton Island. I volunteered for one of the boats. The heat was sweltering, and the men grumbled fiercely over their work. Job Anderson was in command of my boat, and instead of keeping the crew in order, he grumbled as loud as the worst.
By God, if another one of these insects bites me, I'll bite the bloody thing back. Oh, don't just stare at me, keep rowing. Ah, Skeleton Island indeed. We'll be eating the skeletons ourselves before we sail home. And by God, I could make a skeleton out of them that's always us here. What do you say, lads?
Anchor away!
Anchor away!
Anchor away!
We brought up just where the anchor was in the chart. About a third of a mile from each shore, the mainland on one side and Skeleton Island on the other. The place was entirely landlocked, buried in woods, the trees coming right down to the high water mark, the hilltop standing at a distance in a sort of amphitheatre. Two little rivers, or rather two swamps, emptied out into this pond, as you might call it. And the foliage round that part of the shore had a kind of poisonous brightness. A peculiar stagnant smell hung over the anchorage, a smell of sodden leaves and rotting tree trunks. Had it not been for the chart, we might have been the first that had ever anchored there since the island arose out of the seas.
No sign of the house or the stockade. Must be buried back there in the trees.
Buried is the word. Catch that odour. I don't know about treasure, but I'll stake my wig there's fever here.
It's the atmosphere on the ship I'm concerned about. Mutiny's in the air, like thunder. Look at him down there. Every time I give an order, I feel close to getting my throat cut.
I know what you mean. Certain looks I've got are still sticking in my back.
Right now, we've only one man to rely on.
Which is who?
Silver.
Silver?
He's as anxious as you and I to smother things up, for the time being at least. He wants nothing going off till we've reached that treasure.
What do you suggest?
Oh, we give him the chance to calm them down. Let's allow the men an afternoon ashore. Silver taking charge of them. If they all go, the ship is ours.
And if they none of them go?
Well then, we hold the cabin and God defend the right. If some go, you mark my words, sir. Silver will bring them aboard again, mild as lambs.
Lambs? I believe it when I see it.
Every move we make now, gentlemen, is a roll of the dice for the fiercest odds. And there's no backing out of the game itself. As captain, I'd rather take this gamble than not.
Oh, very well, then. Silver!
Squire!
Step up here a moment.
Yes. Let that bandit be captain for a day. See what it does for his good nature.
Jim!
Sir?
Why don't you go with them?
With them?
Ashore. And be our eyes and ears. Silver seems to trust you.
Trust
me? Stir your stumps, lad. Do your duty.
I don't want to.
Don't want to what?
Jim, you must. We're relying on you for all our sakes.
You
must, Jim.
Yes, sirs. What's the plan? Jim, there you are. Where's my young helpmate been hiding?
I can smell that treasure from here, Jack.
Shut your mouth and keep rowing. These sea dogs, eh, Jim? They think they're pirates, a lot of them.
At last, the party was made up. 6 fellows were to stay on board, and the rest of us, captained by Silver, rowed for the beach.
Here we are. Beach them boats, boys.
Piece of eight. No time to wait, piece of eight.
Out we get. Drag them boats up.
Come on. The whole island's ours.
That's right. Up here.
One of you lubbers, give old Long John a hand. Jim, would you? Jim, where are you going?
Here you go, Jack. Up you come.
Give me old hand, old salt, old mother, old dog.
Quiet, bird.
You
Oh, I'm not so fit as this as I was in the old days, eh, Joe?
You're fit enough, Jack, for all we gotta do.
Indeed, indeed. Jim, come here. Give your captain a hand.
Captain?
Oh, you know how Long John likes to joke. Don't look so crestfallen, young fellow. After all this way, here we stand. The island. And all Jim the Larks will have, if you'll give your friend Long John a helping hand.
Helping hand.
Hand out for treasure. Pieces of eight.
Hear the bird, lad. Stick with Long John, Jim. Smart lad like you won't go poor.
Aye.
Fella like me can always use a fella like you.
Use me in what?
Well, now, take my hand and stroll with me into these trees, and why, I might just tell you.
No.
No?
I can't.
Can't what? Take a walk?
Can't.
What's the bladder there, Jack? Ain't we heading off to see what's here for getting old off?
Now, just you be patient one moment, Job Anderson. I'm talking to my young...
I can't.
Off he goes. Go to the devil.
Jim, where are you going? Jim!
What devil's going on with the lad?
I don't know. Jim!
It was only later that I was to learn from the doctor of all that was meanwhile going on aboard the ship.
I don't like it, Trelawney.
Lily Bolero? And I've heard it sung better.
It's not that, Squire. It's the thought of what they might do to us when they get tired of singing it.
Six of them. Not sure on the odds of taking them on.
Nor am I, but with Israel Hands left on board to oversee them. I think we ought to broaden our room for manoeuvre. Hunter?
Sir?
Why don't we take this jolly boat here, row ourselves onto the island, see if that stockade isn't where the map places it.
The stockade?
Sketch of it on the map suggests a well-defended structure. Log house set on a sandy hillock, wooden fence all around.
Whatever you say, sir.
Come. Over here. We'll let the boat down ourselves.
You guys somewhere, gentlemen?
Carts and hands. Have you nothing better to do than question your superiors?
Superiors?
Aye, indeed. The captain for a start.
The captain for the sailing over. But we're here now.
What? What? What insubordination is this? Your captain, I am, at sea and at anchor.
And when the water under you's dead, and stinking like a dead and rotting in a ditch, and the heat's melting the pitch in the ribs of the boat till the whole thing might split apart, what captain is to be done then? What coxswaining? What's to be done but wait? All of us, wait. Wait for whatever comes next.
Why, Israel Hands, what might just come next is you dangling from that yardarm on a very tight rope.
I wouldn't try that, Captain. It might upset the men over there. Upset them terrible.
As you listen.
No. Cox and Hands is quite right.
What?
Well, we don't want or need any upset to the camaraderie of our happy crew. Mr. Hunter and I were just going to take a little row out on the jolly boat.
A row? A rowing after what?
Lepidopterae.
What?
Butterflies. I'm an enthusiast for them. Aren't I, Squire?
Positive nut for them, he is, chasing them with his little net.
The trick is to creep up on them slowly, discreetly. And I suspect an island like this is all aflutter with them.
Maybe it is.
So you don't mind?
Mind?
Mr. Hunter and I taking the jolly boat over for an hour or so?
I've got my orders.
Orders? Orders from whom?
Well, they ain't orders about nobody hunting butterflies. So, off you go, my blessing.
Your blessing?
Yes, sir. After all, they get into any trouble, there's plenty of our boys over there to sort them out.
Very well. You fellows can keep an eye on things here?
We can.
Then let's get this boat lowered.
I paid Silver no heed, jumping, ducking and breaking through. I ran straight before my nose till I could run no longer. Regaining my breath, I looked around the strange land I was in. I had crossed a marshy tract full of willows, bulrushes and odd, outlandish, swampy trees. and I had now come upon the skirts of an open piece of undulating, sandy country, dotted with contorted trees. On the far side stood one of the hills, with two craggy peaks shining in the sun. I now felt for the first time the joy of exploration. The isle was uninhabited. My shipmates I had left behind, and nothing lived in front of me but dumb brutes and fowls. Here and there I saw snakes, and one raised his head from a ledge of rock and hissed at me. I hastened on and came to a long thicket of oak-like trees, with twisted boughs which fringed a broad, reedy fen. The marsh was steaming in the strong sun, and the outline of the spyglass trembled through the haze. All at once, a wild duck flew up. Another followed, and soon, over the whole marsh, a great cloud of birds hung screaming and circling in the air. I judged at once that some of my shipmates must be drawing near along the borders of the fen.
This way, Tom. Over here. Here.
Nor was I deceived, for soon I heard a human voice.
Eric, Jack? Are you sure?
Sure indeed, friend Tom. We'll sit. Sit and talk.
Talk, Jack? What do you mean, talk?
Talk, Tom. Just talk.
Talk, talk, talk the tongue from the dead man's mouth.
Quiet bird.
And now I began to feel that I was neglecting my business. That since I had been so foolhardy as to come ashore with these desperados, the least I could do was to overhear them at their councils. Crawling on all fours, I made steadily but slowly towards them, till at last, raising my head to an aperture among the leaves, I could see clear down into a little green dell beside the marsh, where Long John Silver and another of the crew stood face to face in conversation.
It's because I think gold dust of you. Gold dust, Tom, my friend, and you may lay to that.
"15 men on a dead man's chest."
Quiet, bird. You just roost on this bush here. Here, got a dead mouse in my pocket for you to crunch.
Dead mouse, me and Silver heard a dead mouse.
Hush.
What's that it's saying, Silver? What's that it's saying?
Nothing, Tom. Nothing.
Crunch the bones, drink the blood and crunch the bones.
Tom, old friend, trust me.
Trust you?
Why, if I hadn't talked to you like pitch, do you think I'd have been here a warning of you? Listen here. All's up with that ship, with his crew and with this whole damned treasure hunt. You can't make nor mend. It's to save your neck that I'm speaking. And if one of the Wildlands knew it, where would I be, Tom?
Silver, you're old and you're honest, or has the name for it, and you've money too, which lots of poor sailors hasn't. And you're brave, or I'm mistook. And will you tell me you'll let yourself be led away by that mess of swabs? Not you. As sure as God sees me, I'd sooner lose my hand. If I turn again my duty...
Your duty, Tom, is to be on the right side of what's cracking off. The right side, the winning side, the living side.
Living?
Someone's dead.
John. My God, John. What in heaven's name was that?
That? Oh, I reckon that'll be Alan. That Joe Bandison is a rough sort. 31 skinned a man single-handed. Mind, he was younger then.
Alan? Then, rest his soul for a true seaman. And as for you, John Silver, long you've been a mate of mine, but you're mate of mine no more. If I die like a dog, I'll die in my duty. You've killed Alan, have you? Well, kill me too, if you can, but I defies you.
I wouldn't recommend it, Tom.
Oh, I'm done with your recommendations, John Silver. Go on, shoot me in the back if you're villain enough.
Shoot you in the back, Tom? Why soil my fingers with gunpowder when I got something handier right here?
The hurtled crutch struck Tom in the middle of his back. He fell, back broken.
That's it, my dear little fish. You just lie still.
No, no.
Lie still, I said. That's it. Still. Lie still.
Silver, agile as a monkey, even without leg or crutch, had leapt atop him, twice burying his knife to the hilt in that defenseless body.
There, now tell the devil the rest are on their way.
Tell the devil, tell the devil.
I do not know what it rightly is to faint, but I do know that the whole world swam away from before me in a whirling mist. Silver and the birds and the tall spyglass hilltop, going round and round and topsy-turvy before my eyes, and all manner of bells ringing and distant voices shouting in my ear.
Lie still, 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 still.
When I came again to myself, the monster had pulled himself together, his crutch under his arm, his hat upon his head. Just before him, Tom lay motionless. But the murderer minded him not a whit, cleansing his blood-stained knife upon a wisp of grass.
Clean it up! Clean it up! Bloody mess, clean it up!
That's it, Tom. You just lie there and feed the bugs and the birds. Me and the lads will spend your share wisely. And speaking of the lads...
I could not tell, of course, the meaning of the signal, but it instantly awoke my fears. More men would be coming. I might be discovered. Instantly I began to extricate myself and crawl to the more open portion of the wood.
Jack! Where are you, Jack?
Over here. Down here, boys.
Down here, boys. Down here with the dead and the devil.
Tom with us.
He ain't against us. Not anymore. Come see.
Here we come.
As soon as I was clear of the thicket, I ran as I never ran before, scarce minding the direction of my flight, so long as it led me from the murderers. And as I ran, fear grew, and grew upon me until it turned into a kind of frenzy.
Hear anything more out there, Redruth?
No, Squire. Nothing but them wretched, unchristian birds squealing.
Perhaps it was a bird we heard earlier.
That was no bird, sir.
No. No sign of the doctor and the jolly boat?
Nope. Can just about make out that same couple of Silver's men, guarding their own boats.
Hmm. Well, that's scant comfort, isn't it?
Scant, sir? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Redruth. I'm just thinking of those two men in that boat. And that boy before them. Oh, Redruth, what kind of dreadful depth has my own greed sunk us in?
Ah, now, sir, don't you go talking like that.
Yes, of course, it's true. We might still find the treasure.
No, sir, what I mean is, it's bad enough without talking about it.
No. What? What's that?
Probably them coming to kill us.
You think?
Nice of them to knock first.
A little polite, perhaps, for murderous buccaneers. Open the door.
Who? Me?
I'll be right behind you with this pistol.
I'd rather you were in front of me.
What's that?
Nothing, Squire. Nothing. Oh. Who is it? Who?
Well, open it.
Open it, he says. Open it? If it's me coffin lid, you will close it for me, won't you?
What's that? Quick, quick. Close it. Close it. Who on earth? Close the door. Redruth, do it. It's not too loud. I've seen you on deck, haven't I?
Gray's the name. Abraham Gray. Abe to my friends. So who's got a friend on this ship just at the moment, huh? Who isn't a murderer or said to be?
What? What?
No, I'm not here. I shouldn't be. Any sense left in my head, I'd be out there with Israel Hands and the rest of them, sharpening my cutlass, counting up a fortune in my head. Instead, look at me. Stood here with you, soft as a jellyfish, telling you all just for the sake of... A man can't change his nature, worse luck. No matter how far he sails.
You haven't told us anything, ma'am. Tell us now.
Tell you? Oh, too late, probably.
You're as good as dead right now.
What? What?
Up there, above. Israel Hands and the rest of them. They're sick of singing Lily Bolero. Heard another song from over that island. When they light more. You hear it?
Song?
You mean that scream?
I do mean that scream. The scream and the whistle that came after it. John Silver's whistle.
Oh, yes.
Silver's at his slaughtering work over there already. Boys here in the ship are eager suddenly for their share of the red meat. They're coming for you.
Coming?
No, I told you, I shouldn't be here. I know where I'm going. All the best.
Wait, what can we do?
There's nothing you can do. But if you're going to do it fast. Fast. No, I ain't getting out of it.
It's your trouble, eh, Gray? You was never as fast as the job required.
It's all. I was just...
Just doing what?
Just doing nothing, Israel. Nothing. I just...
Just took a wrong turn in the passage back there, did you? Disturbed the gentleman.
Wrong turn. Yes, Israel. Wrong turn.
Jacko!
Israel!
Take Abir back along the passage. Hold him tight till I've got a moment for him.
Come on.
No, please. Israel, don't. No.
Quiet there, Seaman Gray. My knife can cut you all manner of places, but taking out your tongue is messy work. I'd like to avoid it if I can. Take him.
Come
Israel,
on.
Don't.
What will you do to him?
Don't worry about it. You've got enough to worry over on your own account.
What, sir, does that mean?
Crew left on the ship here is getting restive. Sounds like the boys over on the island is enjoying all the hilarity. Where's our share, says they?
Sounds like they've a mighty strange notion of hilarity.
Yeah, they get it from me, so watch what you say.
You're not in charge of the ship, Mr. Hands. Shall we call in the captain to arbitrate?
My boys have their eyes on the captain, even as we speak. One shout from me, and he's no one's captain, not anymore.
And who takes his place? Silver?
Hasn't he been the real captain all along? Aren't you lot, now we're here, so much ballast fit for dumping?
Ballast? Why, you...
Yeah, I wouldn't try it, serving man. You'd be polishing your master's shoes with your own blood.
It's all right, Redruth. What will you do with us?
Well, while we're stuck here, waiting for Long John to finish what needs finishing over there on the island, we might have a bit of fun. Tug on the squeeze box, a bit of dancing. You gentlemen dance?
I'm not in the mood just at the moment.
Oh, but we'll get you in the mood.
You think so?
I know it, Squire. Back in the old days when I was just starting out with Captain Flint, we had a game we'd play with any swabs new to the crew, or them would seem too genteel for the rough old tasks we had to set them to. We'd drag them up on the deck, strip them like women, shove burning tapers between their toes or any other parts of them tender enough. When them flames burn down to their soft pink parts... Oh, the dance you get out of them then. The laugh you have watching. Why, they dance till they drop. Nothing could be funnier.
I'm struggling to be amused.
Well, why don't we struggle you both up on deck and see how amused we can make you?
Don't you dare, you dare, dare!
You snivelling nothing, as have spent your whole life on your knees, serving periwig scum like the squire here. You're dictating to me. To me. To a man who was trod down from the moment of his birth and said no more. The moment he first got a knife in his hand, I will not be dictated to.
No, please, let him go.
What's the commotion in there?
This commotion. Take your share, Captain. Lie there, both of you. I'll lay the squire down on top.
No,
the knife says yes, squire. It's another game we could play up on deck. Tie yous all upright, toss knives at you. My aim, I warn you, is tight and true.
The shot this pistol will put through the back of your skull, Hands, will be truer still.
Doctor!
Drop the knife, Hands, and leave the cabin.
Not the only knife on board.
I only need one squeeze on this trigger to put them all out of your reach. Good. Now go.
I'm going. Just along the gallery out there.
Mr. Redruth.
Doctor?
Why don't you position yourself in that gallery with the... What have we got in here? 3 muskets?
4.
Even better. And we should have a brace of pistols per man. So we won't tremble excessively at your cheap threats, Hands.
With treasure this near, Doctor, no threat I make is cheap. I'll be on deck.
Redruth?
Uh-huh?
Take a mattress with you.
A mattress?
For protection. It might stop a shot or two.
Oh, yes.
And if I get myself killed, you'll have something to lay me out of.
That's the spirit. Hopefully you gentlemen are just as enthused by the adventure ahead.
What adventure would that be?
The stockade. I found it. Exactly where our map put it. And I've just confirmed it as a safer spot than this ship. Relatively speaking, at least.